I too want to wish all of our mothers here today a happy Mother's Day. And I'm thrilled that we were thinking along the same lines. I read that and I've pretty much got my sermon here. You know, I could read the scripture that Joe shared a part of the great psalm that talks about the virtuous woman and all that she does, but I just want to talk about moms. You know, I can always remember some of the words my mother spoke. They were so meaningful and powerful. One was, I was pretty young, and I think I had just been set in the corner for some mysterious reason. And she said, "You're lucky you're not a twin, or I'd put you up for adoption." Never forgotten that. She always bragged to all the neighbors that I was her miracle child, and I thought pretty special. She said, "That's a miracle I let you live." Moms had a lot of things that were just pretty meaningful and powerful, but moms see things through different eyes, don't they? Have you ever got that first note from your child, like he's 2 years old and he's writing you a letter to tell you how he feels? And you know, a mother is the only one that can decipher what that letter says. Or they've drawn your first picture and really, you can't tell what it is, but a mother knows what that picture is, and it's just like a Rembrandt that's put on the refrigerator, and it's something that you remember forever. How do you become a mom? Well, you're a mom if you gave birth. You're a mom if you have adopted somebody. Or you're a mom because you inherited kids in some way or another. That makes you a mom. And moms are special people. I just want to share some of the ways that moms are special people. First of all, they're strong. They manage a house. They cook meals. They do cleaning. They do planning. They do the chauffeuring. They are resource managers, time managers. They're a biggest fan. They're a doctor, a forgiver, a defender, an improviser, an inventor, a teacher, an encourager. And all those are done 24/7, day and night, without cease, and always and most often without thanks. But they do all those things anyway. Moms are grace. She works from sun up to sun down. When the rooster crows, mom's already cooking. And when the rooster crows that the sun's gone down, she's getting things ready for the next day. She works from sun up to sun down. She rarely gets acknowledged for her effort, but takes joy in doing it anyway. She is selfless. Most of what she does is not for herself, but for her family. Moms are the kiss of acceptance amidst the disappointment, and she's also the joy of triumph in something successfully done. They are steadfast through the ups and downs of life. It's always to mom that you can go and pour out your heart and know that it's safe there. It's moms who can say the right things, do the right things, read you the right story at the right time. Who can tell you with her soft and soothing voice when it's time to go to bed and you're frightened of the boogeyman that's in the closet, how she can say those soothing words that put you to sleep. Only moms can do that. They're special people. By her character, by her example, she teaches her children how to become adults. Because moms are visionary. Moms always want more for their children than the children want for themselves. They understand what it takes to accomplish a goal, whether it's painful or joyful. She's there to encourage and assist. She understands the principle and teaches her children to sacrifice now to receive the gain or the reward that will happen later on. Mom is the battering ram that breaks down the obstacles that prevent her children from gaining progress. Moms are parents first, and then a friend in later years. Moms know when to step back or to step forward. And she knows when to allow the harshness of the world to forge a positive life lesson on that child that she so dearly loves. Moms are 24/7, yet they still find time to serve on the school board, in PTA, in the ladies' aid, to serve funeral dinners and cook extra food, to do all those things in addition to the 24/7 job that she has. They love their country and have endured the hardships and persevered in their grief. Always exhausted, having used up her own strength, she is always trusting in that greater strength. She works hard through the day so that she might receive that eternal rest when life is over. And a mom's great pride and joy is that when that day comes and she stands before her Heavenly Father with the responsibility of the children that God has given to her, those words, "well done," will be the affirmation of every minute that she has put into the rearing of her children. I got to thinking about Mom. Of course, we always do on Mother's Day. But it's interesting to me that in the lostness and the uncertainty of this world, that we always have someone that we are a part of and that we belong to. And that's our mother. Because we were formed inside of our mothers. We are a part of her DNA. We are a part of her body. And we will always, always belong to her. Moms have the capacity to have a short memory and an extravagance of forgiveness. Children have the ability to offend their mothers, their fathers, their family. And yet in the heart and the mind of mother, it is forgotten already. Moms are great teachers of life lessons. Sometimes the harshness of the paddle or the belt is necessary, but sometimes the softness and the kindness of words, after you've made a huge mistake that points you in the right direction, are words that are treasures for the rest of your life. It is so important for us to honor our mothers. In fact, one of the first of the great commandments, of the Ten Commandments, after we get past the God commandments, is honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. And we've all been close to that place where our parents were going to take us out because we didn't honor them like we should have. But the greater question today I want for us to consider in all the things that moms are, and there are billions of things that we could say about mothers, about our mothers. But the question I want to pose today is, why is America so different today than it was when I was growing up? And I think there is a definite answer for that. And I think it has to do with the celebration of this day, because things have changed in parenting. It is difficult to find in our society today, in a society, and it's not necessarily any individual's fault, it's just where we are and where we've allowed ourselves to be taken, where sacrifice is not something that we readily accept. And as I think back about my mother, I think the most prominent word that I could use would be sacrifice. I can't remember how many new dresses Mom ever had, but I always knew that whatever we had, especially on Sunday morning, we were cleaned up, shined up, and had our best on for Sunday. And in the car to church, we got our last inspection before we went into the building. And if we were dirty behind the ears, we got a spit bath. And if ever there was anything that would encourage you to take your bath, it would be that. In our society, when we grew up, it was always insistent that we were on our best behavior. Now, best behavior is relative to the individual, I would guess. But we soon found that what the level and the measure of good behavior was. And it wasn't something that was foreign that we did not see in our homes, because it was modeled first in our homes what good behavior was. And it was how Mom and Dad treated each other as they lived out this marriage partnership in the rearing of their children. The blessing in our home was that there was no inconsistency. There was no division. There were no differencing of opinions that were evident to the children. It was a unified effort. And as we began to understand, and as we began to get to the age where we were going to become more independent, we were going to be allowed to go places, we were going to start to date, the things that we learned at home taught us how we were to treat those around us, especially as males, how we would treat the girls that we were with, and the girls, how they would treat and behave with the guys that they were with. But there's been a change and a shift in our society today, and part of what we see in the parenting, and I'm not pointing a finger at necessarily anyone. The fact is, I'm not pointing at anyone. But when we live in a society where over 50% of our children have no father, and some have no mother to speak of, they may be present, but they're not there really parents, is it any wonder that our society is changing? Because the foundational things that my generation got to enjoy and learn are not present in this world, in this generation today. When we think of the sacrifices that the women made in World War I and II, who sent their husbands and their children off to war, many who did not return. It changed the outlook of our society because for the first time, women became single moms. And not only did they continue to carry out the duties of the 24/7 jobs that they had, but they additionally took on the role of father as well. Certainly some were blessed to remarry wonderful people, but they were left with the children that they were responsible for. Nobody knows what it's like. Well, I shouldn't say that, not that way. But it's becoming less and less likely that people know how to work hard to plan for something that they will have in 5 or 6 years versus what I get today. Is it any wonder why when Jesus talked about persevering in life so that we might have eternal life, that he didn't do it in just one day, but he did it in a lifetime? And that's where I think one of the great differences that we see in our world today about with our mothers is that they were willing to go the mile, the whole journey, to get to a certain place, to arrive at the goal. There's no greater joy than when a child returns and they have been successful in the training that their mothers have given, that their life is filled with joy and wonder and achievement. And without that foundation and without the knowledge and the joy of achievement, we don't find self-value and self-worth. In those long hours that moms work, it may seem like it's forever. It may seem like a drudgery. But there's always one goal behind everything that she does. And that's to create a better life for her children. Moms had values and have values that maybe we don't understand until we've left home even. The things that she has, though they may be few, are precious. And the understanding that life is always more precious than things. And there's one of the great changes in our society. Things are more precious than life. There was an expanse and an outward thinking of motherhood in my generation that included not just family, but neighbors and community. And I remember growing up in that little rural church, and I told you about two of my Sunday school teachers last week. Growing up in that little rural church, and there were like 30 women there, and every one of them was your mother. So you didn't get away with anything. And they felt free to discipline someone else's child. And the person's child was disciplined, was not offended by that, but was grateful. But things have changed, haven't they? We can't say anything negative, potentially hurtful, remotely offensive to anyone, or suggest that anyone would be doing something wrong. And the decline of the mother's influence, that godly, consistent, persistent, loving motherhood has changed the face of the world in which we live. Now, that would be the question that would be put before us, but the real one is, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Well, I'm looking at the answer right now. Because as we think about what we want, first of all, for our children, what do we want most for our children? And I don't know about you as parents, and I don't know about you as mothers, but the thing I want more for my children is to spend eternity with them. And the saddest part of my life is that right now, that may not be the case for some of our children. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have failed as parenting, but there is certainly something left to be done. Are we committed, as our mothers were committed, first of all, to Jesus Christ as a mother? Are we committed to His holy word? Do we believe that His word is the true foundation of life and joy in the existence or the time that God has given us on this earth? If we believe that and we apply ourselves to that, then we are going to be good material to be a mother. We'll be a good example for those who come into our homes. Do we believe that the workday is 8 hours or 24/7? Now, if we were choosing, we would choose an 8-hour day, wouldn't we? But how many of you mothers know that it lasted more than 8 hours a day when you raised your children? How many of you stayed up all night when they were sick? How many of you lost sleep when they went out and drove the car for the first time? You know, at our house, the first time we got the lecture, first of all, from Dad. I don't know if it was this way in your house or not, but the first time we were going to take the car, we got the lecture. Don't drive too fast. Don't drive any faster than you can handle the car. Think ahead. And you know, all this was going, because we were thinking about we're getting a car, you know. And so finally, after the lecture ended, after 3 or 4 months, we got in the car and turned the key on, and Dad came running out of the house, one more thing. And he told us one more thing, and then we were out of the driveway. And we had a curfew. Are any of you familiar with a curfew? Yeah. Our bedtime was 9 o'clock, even as a senior in high school. Go figure that one out. But I never wanted to get up, so evidently that wasn't enough time yet. But anyway, when we would go out, we'd leave in the car, doing whatever we were going to do. We weren't dating yet, but we were out with the guys. Maybe that's what frightened them the most. But when we came home at 9 o'clock, because that was the curfew, and we'd learned in past experience that what they said they meant, we opened the door and walked in, and guess who was sitting on a kitchen chair at the table, waiting? It was Mom. And she was looking at us and looking at the clock, and it's much, much better if you had 30 seconds to spare. I don't know what Dad was doing in the bedroom, but I imagine when he heard the car come in the driveway, maybe he could drift off to sleep as well. But there was a trust issue going on here too, wasn't there? We only had one car. We didn't have two or three or one for everybody, every driver in the house. We had one car and we had one farm truck. And by the way, I drove the farm truck, this, I don't know, 2-ton truck to the prom. But we had responsibility. It was a trust. And we trusted what they said, and they trusted us to obey what they said. Mom was the one who generally, because Dad was gone, he was at work already. He worked a midnight shift at Clifford and Jacobs over in Champaign. During the night and during the day, he farmed. So the rest of the time, he slept. So Dad was always gone by the time we got up and was still gone when we got home. And so Mom was the relayer of all the instructions that we were to have. Dad trusted her to do that. And she did it well. But Mom was a lot softer than Dad. She was pushover. You know, you kind of wrap her around your little finger. And we'd do things that weren't exactly like she told us to do. But she always had these words that really put fear into our hearts. Wait till Dad gets home. And I don't care how sound asleep we might have been, how much we pretended to be asleep, how much we tried to avoid the consequence of what we had done, Dad always came home. And we received our just rewards. And I'm here to tell you today that we're better because of it. Because they cared enough about how we behaved and the integrity that we would have as we became adults and how we would interact in the world than to let pretty insignificant things, as I look back, slide. Because they knew, especially Mom knew, that if I let it go a little bit, it's going to turn into something much, much bigger. And pretty soon, it's going to be so big that none of us can handle it. Do you realize that in America, we have more criminals than we have jail space for? And we have some of the best prisons in the whole world. And we have them filled with some of the worst people in the world. And I just wonder how much difference a good mother and a good father would have made in that scenario. Every one of you should be preaching your own sermon to yourself today about mothers. There are so many things that moms have done for us. Things that maybe we've forgotten. Things maybe we don't even know about. They will never get thanked for. Never be appreciated for. But the very fact that they did them are part of our life today. I want to close with this, just this thought. God really knew what he was doing when in the family unit he had this person called mom. And he created her in such a way that not only was she beautiful, not only was she helpful, but she completed the man that she married. Together they were one. They worked as one. They lived as one. And the children that comes from that oneness, from that Holy Spirit, that guidance and direction that God gives, has raised up men and women to be preachers, to be teachers, to be evangelists, to be Christians who live out the faith courageously wherever they go. And God, through moms, has accomplished a great deal of his evangelistic work on this planet. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pause to thank you for the moments that we remember, the treasures of lives, the things that mom has truly touched us. And we know even beyond that, Father, that everything that she did, everything that you have created in her was a gift from you that was to benefit not just mom, not just the children, but mankind in general. As we celebrate this day, Father, we praise your name because you are the one who created this concept. But we also thank you for the mothers that we have now or have had that has brought us to the place where we sit in this room to praise and glorify your holy name. And so I thank you in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.